they've got no time for glory in the infantry. Oh, they've got no use for praises loudly sung. But in every soldier's heart, in all the infantry, shines the name of Roger Young.
Hello, and welcome to the Novel Ideas Podcast.
The Novel Ideas Podcast, a podcast for two siblings who love books.
Yeah.
But not as much as Bob Heinlein likes the military.
Hoorah! Or whatever the proper one for the army is.
Well, they're the MI. They felt like Marines to me.
But they are the army, right?
I think they are technically the army, yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, they're basically Marines.
Well, they totally are. They're
in giant robot suits.
They're totally like World War II paratroopers is what they are.
Yeah.
Actually.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, well, this week we are reading Starship Troopers by Robert Heinlein?
I've been saying Heinlein forever, but I think it's Heinlein.
I don't like that as much.
Me neither.
Because it's rhymey.
Yeah, me neither.
Bob. For anyone who's been listening to us long enough or keeps tabs, this is our second book by him.
Yes, we did Stranger in a Strange Land, like...
Episode 3?
I was going to say, that was an early one.
Yeah, one of the first books we did. And it has been over a year, so we decided it was okay to do another one.
Well, he is maybe my favorite author, though I now recognize more of the flaws than I used to, I think. But,
Also, yeah. We had, two or three people request that we do this book? We're trying to pay more attention to listener suggestions, so we thought that it was time to pull Bob out of the sack here.
That's right. And there's one more of his that I definitely want Gabs to read, so maybe we can hang in for 12 more months.
And do another one.
I'm going to make you read that other one, whether we're podcasting or not.
I was going to say, I could just read it.
I'd like to talk about it if we're doing the podcast when that happens.
Fair enough.
Because it's his only book with a female protagonist.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. Or at least the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
We should just do a month where we read female protagonists written by male authors.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
Yeah, because I was thinking Zoe's Tale is
that'd be a good time to make it do Zoe's
classic
Tale.
Classic example.
And you could read The Fault in Our Stars
again. I actually ordered that off Amazon a couple days ago because I was like, I don't own this book. Yeah. This is an outrage. It's been more than it's time for me to read this book.
That's
again.
Right.
I need to own it. So I bought it.
Happened.
Yep.
All of you go buy it.
I regret nothing.
And then listen to our episode.
On The Fault in Our Stars, not on Starship Troopers.
Oh. Well, no, listen to that. We're already listening to that. So what am I saying? The Fault in Our Starship Troopers. Possible episode title.
Yeah!
Probable episode title.
Ooh. Delightful. So, Starship Troopers. We will be discussing the book and not the seminal 1990s classic.
The Paul Verhoeven magnum opus.
One of the 10 best, manliest movies of all time. Or whatever list Spike TV probably put it on.
Yeah, right.
It was playing every weekend for a month because it was like manly movies we love or some bullshit.
That movie is almost as fun as it is dumb.
It is pretty horrible.
But it is not especially good.
One thing I was thinking, though, while it is a poor movie, it does a better job of having women in it than the book does.
That's true. They kind of do the... Battlestar Galactica thing where men and women are in the same ranks doing the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So give it 1 point for that.
That's right. And it is fun. But and film critic people love to talk about how it lampoons fascism or something or other.
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm not convinced the movie's smart enough to be doing that, but okay.
I saw an internet conversation about a week ago where people were talking about fascism and Starship Troopers.
There you go.
So, yep. the internet is keeping it alive.
That's right. Go, internet, go.
That's why reading the book is still relevant.
That's right.
Today.
Tie it all up.
It is science fiction, for anyone who hasn't figured that part out yet.
And furthermore, it is part of the subgenre, possibly the granddaddy of the subgenre of military science fiction, which is definitely a thing.
Ben can attest to that.
Yes, I can.
He's read much more of it than me.
Yeah, both categories.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was speaking specifically military, but right. Yes. Plot synopsis this week is the military sploosh.
Sploosh.
There's hand gestures accompanying with the sploosh for
go,
anyone.
Everyone go watch Archer. All of it.
That was the first thing I thought when I finished reading the book and I texted it to Ben, so.
Oops, I got some war in your philosophy.
That's like, dude, Bob Heinlein has a fucking boner for the military. Or at least this book does. I guess the author doesn't necessarily, but...
Yeah, you always want to be careful to associate an author with all of the views espoused in their books, but... I mean, sometimes it's obvious.
Uh-huh.
Looking at you, Atlas Shrugged.
Lol.
Starship Troopers, I'm not so sure, because Stranger in a Strange Land was written 2 years later, and it's all about, like, peace and love, man.
Yeah, we looked that up. I was just telling Ben I thought that was weird they were written so close together. Yeah, 2 years apart, and very different, so... And you said most of his later era stuff is more, like, Stranger.
Yeah, for sure.
So, in 2 years, did he have, like, a total philosophy change, or did he just think Starship Troopers was a... experiment in a different society and he doesn't believe it? Now I'm confused. I'm not as convinced as before that he's all gung-ho about this book that he created.
Yeah, I mean, for all I know, it could have been a thought experiment or something along those lines. I mean, certainly in the modern day, in some ways it's easier now to tell because every author that sells even a tiny bit has a website, and many of them have blogs.
Yeah.
And many of those authors have blogs that are not just an extension of their commercial arm.
Right.
They're actually like personal blogs, and, you know, you can read one of their books and go, they really glorify the military, and then go to their blog and go, oh, actually, no.
No, they don't. Okay.
Okay, they just think it's fun to write about.
Yeah, but we...
Don't know which of those Bob Heinlein. I keep calling him Bob like I know him.
Bob. Good old Bob.
Good old Bob. Bobby H. Robert Heinlein.
Robert. So formal.
Robert Anson Heinlein.
Anson?
Yeah, good middle name.
Oh, that is a good middle name.
As long as you don't associate him with Cap Anson. Hall of Fame baseball player and renowned racist.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know who that guy was, so.
There you go.
That wouldn't really bother me too much. I'm going to name my son Cap.
Like, delve into all of the things that I love and Gabs is bored by, like baseball nerdery and military history. And
I'm going to take a nap over here.
All right, I'll be finishing this one solo, folks.
Ben explains the last 10 games of the Royal season.
You know, go ahead and break down the baseball playoffs as long as we're at it. And
woof. That's for another day, my friend.
That's right. So
that has nothing to do with novels.
I won't regale you with the significance of the Cardinals' BABIP tonight.
Thank you. So
moving right along.
A brief summary for anyone who's not familiar with the book. Pretty straightforward. Main character, Johnny Rico. Juan Rico. He joins the military just kind of because. And he becomes military infantry. He describes basic in detail. He becomes part of the Resnecks, Roughnecks, team that drops down on bug planets. Then he goes to officer candidate school. And then there's a battle at the end of the book. And that's the book.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, not a lot of stuff really happens.
Yeah, it's not very long either, so...
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I remembered when I finished reading that you told me once many years ago that Starship Troopers was basically a book about basic, or about training or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but after I read it, that came back to me, and I was like, oh, that's very true.
It is, yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting, because it is, in many ways, like the seminal work of military science fiction, and there are two chapters of battle.
Yeah, one at the beginning, one at the end.
And then a couple references to battles that he was in, but
you don't get
no
to see
details
it.
Are given.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I won't bore you, boys. I'm like, that is the interesting part.
The entire military landed on the bug homeworld and got their asses kicked, but that's all I'm going to tell you.
I was like, really, dude? But you're going to regale me with like an entire chapter on your history and moral philosophy right. fucking class.
But here's what Colonel Dubois thought
about spanking
children.
Your child. You must know. Oh, fuck.
So good.
No.
So good in both the way where I actually enjoyed it and the way where I enjoyed annoying Gabs.
I get so mad when he glosses over that shit. Oh, drives me crazy.
Anyway, the setting of the book is space and Earth and various schools. It's a setting. Really. Does the setting matter other than the future?
Yeah, not really. They call Earth Terra now, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. They have spaceships, they can go faster than the speed of light if they're in whatever drive
right.
that's called. And, yeah, so it's not today's world. It's right. the future.
Right.
And there's a lot of space going on.
It's one of those vaguely space opera type of futures, except unlike most of those, this doesn't focus on the Navy, it focuses on the infantry. The Mudfoot.
Yeah.
The GI, the Doughboy.
I did think it was kind of hilarious at the beginning when Johnny first signs up and he lists like all this crap that he wants to do. Then he gets to the bottom and he's like, canines and military infantry.
Right.
And then they're like, so, military infantry, huh? It's like choice number 20 or
military
something.
Military infantry. Mobile infantry.
Mobile, sorry. Sorry.
So I was getting hung up on the redundancy there.
Military infantry, yeah.
You know, as opposed to all those Peace Corps infantry.
Maybe in the future, I don't know.
That'd be awesome.
So,
like, all this army swarms in, all in uniforms and, like, riding tanks, then, like, build a bunch of houses and clean water and shit.
There you go.
Damn you, Peace Corps infantry.
What the fuck? Mobile infantry. It made me wonder if it was, like, an FU because he couldn't do anything else and it was funny, or if it was, like, he had a predilection to be in the mobile infantry. I didn't know if that was their last chance to put him somewhere, or if they actually thought he'd be good there.
Well, I think his is... Yeah, I think they thought he might be good there. They seemed pretty selective.
Because at first it seemed like an FU, because you think, you know, like, oh, if you join the Marines and you want to work in intelligence and then you're not smart enough, they just throw you in the infantry.
Right.
It's kind of the common conception of how that works.
Right.
But then boot camp started with 2,000 and ended with 500 or whatever.
Like, I'm less than 200, I know.
Yeah, I mean, and a couple people died during it,
right.
So he's got to be good.
It seems like a tougher brand of soldier than we're used to, certainly.
Yeah.
And they are highly specialized, and he does one of those various lengthy asides was about how in this particular army, every person fights, so even if you're some sort of specialist or have some sort of other duty, you're still in your mechanical armor holding some sort of gun.
Yeah, even if you're a cook.
Right.
You go out and fight.
There's no behind the lines. All the support personnel are either Navy or civilians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah, so the story is told through Johnny's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
First person. And
he's definitely the protagonist.
Yeah, he is unquestionably the protagonist.
Because he's the only character's name I could fucking remember.
Yeah. And it's basically him in a cast of more mature, more experienced military types who all more or less have the same personality, I would say.
Yeah. A couple guys his age, but they're not that important.
Yeah, and for like a couple of brief moments. They're usually there just so he can illustrate how they died on some raid that he's not going to tell you about.
Yeah! Told so-and-so he'd be fine and graduate, but he didn't because he died 2 weeks later.
Right.
Moving on! My best friend from high school died when the bugs hit Pluto, but I wasn't that sad because I was used to it by then.
I got into a bar fight with these guys. Oh, and this dude bought the farm on the next mission.
Like, what the...
John!
Dude!
This book might be one of the all-time leaders for killing named characters off-screen, even if they were very minor characters.
Yeah. Maybe that's the point of the book. Being in the military hardens you the death of others.
Yeah. I don't know, certainly in wartime, I guess.
And his mommy dies, too.
I know. It's good.
But it's okay, because we only got, like, a letter from her, so we don't care that much about her.
Yeah, that's fair. She is neither a pilot nor decorative, so we don't care.
True. So, Johnny, what do we know about Johnny besides his mobile infantry status?
He's kind of an interesting voice. I think he's reasonably reflective about what he hears, but it's kind of in a... I don't know, like, almost an academic way, even though he feels strongly about it. Like, you don't get a lot of personality from him.
Yeah, he doesn't really seem to stand out in any one area, or he at least never talks about himself standing out in any one area. And I think the narration is pretty personable and one of the better parts of the book.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised how easy his narration was to read. But, yeah, other than that, it's like, well, okay, so you kind of just joined because, and you're not very good at math, and you like Carmen, and you're good at boot camp, I guess, but...
Right. He clearly has some sort of toughness to him to make it through all this stuff, and...
And there's something in him that other people see.
Yeah, he has that quality that, for whatever reason, other... men want to follow him, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he has a friend. Well, that was the other part. He always seems to stumble into it, because he's like, oh, I guess I'll join because Carl is joining, and then, oh, Mr., you know, your moral philosophy teacher gave you a recommendation for mobile infantry, and then he, like, writes in this letter about him being proud, and he's like, oh, okay, well, I wonder what he saw in me that would make him... be proud of me. And then his friend's like, oh, I always assumed you'd be a career infantry guy. And he's like, oh yeah, maybe I should do that. And then he's just like, I guess I'll be a career. And then the officer's like, I already wrote up your papers. And I'm like,
we saw it coming a mile away.
How does everyone know this shit about him? And he's just like, burp, 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 burp. I just didn't get that.
So maybe that's I don't know, maybe that's the quality of the narration that he doesn't know, so he doesn't give it away to us either. I mean, he does actually seem like a thoughtful guy who kind of understands the emotional side of how things work and kind of the practical side of how things work. And, I mean, it's not like we see him attempt to do vector calculus within the narration or anything. So, I don't know what his... logistics skills and his actual math skills and planning skills and all those officer sort of traits are actually like, but I guess he seems thoughtful enough that making him a lieutenant doesn't seem crazy to me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he doesn't exactly have, like, future general written all over him.
Yeah, and if someone said, you know, oh, tell me about Johnny, I'd be like, oh, he's in the military.
Right. Like, I don't know,
read... That's about all I got.
Yeah. And so, aside from him, there are some of these more experienced men that I referenced earlier. I guess Zim, you spend a lot of time with his drill sergeant when he's in basic training, though he's pretty much just a...
hardcore old dude.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those drill sergeant types. If you've read a military book or seen a military sort of movie, think like a kinder, gentler Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket. But that's kind of what you picture for him. Like, equally hardcore, but without the need to curse on page, at least.
Yeah. And
who actually does seem to understand the psychology of his recruits. Like, he would never push a guy to the point where he had to start shooting people.
Yeah. Well, push someone to the point of punching them in the face, but...
Right, but...
That's what you're supposed to do.
Right, and that was kind of a... Failure on his part that it connected, right?
Yep. Yeah, he got chewed out for letting a recruit punch him in the face.
Right. And then he plays a role again at the end of the book.
Surprise role.
That's right. The plot twist. Because they kept referring very carefully to him as the fleet sergeant and platoon sergeant.
Yeah.
Turns out, dude named Zim.
Oh, shoot.
Brother Zim.
Invaders.
Invader Zim, yeah, totally. Sergeant Invader Zim. And then a little bit of when he Raznax, I think it's...
No N.
I think it's Raznax, but it's probably not the right way to pronounce it. Roughnecks with the lieutenant, who has no other name. I believe in the movie was actually his high school history and moral philosophy.
Yeah, but I remember they stuck him back in there.
Definitely not the case.
No.
Here. And the lieutenant is... I don't think you really even meet him. I think it's just like, he's this amazing guy, and now he's dead.
Yeah.
And now Jalal/Jelly is in charge, and he is kind of a gruff character who... his leadership style is to pretend that the lieutenant is sitting at his desk behind a closed door somewhere.
The lieutenant would not approve of that. And then everyone's like, oh, shit! Yeah.
And then both of the history and moral philosophy teachers are... I don't know, like, they could come across as know-it-alls, I suppose. I bet some people find them pretty arrogant.
I just thought they were more windbaggy than anything else. Yeah. I don't really think they were arrogant.
I think that's probably closer. That's fair.
Let me tell you about this society and just blab about it forever.
Right. Let me tell you why you're wrong, why your assumptions are stupid.
Yeah.
And at the officer training school, if you are too far off course, he also has the benefit of, write me a 20-page paper.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
It's like, okay, wow,
you can bring me in research, annotated research on that tomorrow.
It's like, that's such power as a teacher. So you degrade a shitload of assignments.
He's yeah.
Throwing like a master's degree thesis around every other lesson. Here, you go research this and bring it to me next time. It's like, oh god.
What the fuck, dude?
Literally not enough hours in the day. And then the commandant of the school, who's a former, I don't know, like their equivalent of the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I gather. And then he's under the tutelage of Captain Blackestone once he's on his, I guess, officer training cruise.
Like student teaching.
Yeah, basically, yeah. That's a good way to put it. And Blackstone's also like an experienced guy who's kind of gruff, and all of them have kind of these colorful ways of explaining things, and it's like the same character times five, basically.
Yeah. With little, like, tweaks and differences, but yeah. More or less. So we'll move on.
Yeah, this is not a book you read for great characterization.
No.
No.
And if you do, then yikes.
I mean, Heinlein is not someone you read for great characterization, I would even argue.
I liked the characters better in Stranger.
Yeah. There were more characters in Stranger.
And Jubal Harsha.
Who doesn't love Jubal Harsha? This book is more about issues.
Yeah, so we'll start with our old standby, feminism.
Feminism!
Of course!
Yay!
So this book runs into the same problem that a lot of other 50s sci-fi books run into, where women essentially don't exist. We get Johnny's mom and Carmen from his... Carmencita from his high school. Yes. And they get a little bit of page time, but not really that much. And other than that, he's mostly just like, girls are pretty and stuff.
Johnny does have a deep and frank appreciation of the female form.
And he's talking about how women are, like, the main motivation for soldiers to go be soldiers.
I do love that one comment he has about a gentleman warthog probably feeling the same way about a lady warthog.
Yeah.
But if so, they're... He and the warthog are equally sincere.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we get it.
Dude, bro.
And women do make badass pilots, apparently.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the additional thing in this book that puts it a step above those other ones, is that all of the really good pilots of the main transporters are women.
Right.
Because they make better pilots than guys. They make the best pilots.
That's right.
And we get a couple examples of pilots doing awesome things, and you know it's a woman, but you don't really get to see her do the awesome things. He's just like, she was awesome and did this cool thing, and you're like, alright.
We love the captain, because she's badass.
Yeah, but then you don't actually get to, like...
Oh, but goodness, we're not gonna put her in a scene where she has dialogue.
Heavens no.
Don't get carried away. Come on, guys.
Don't be ridiculous. So I thought that was, like, a weird... What's the word I'm looking for? Thing. A weird thing. Because I can't think of the word.
Dichotomy?
Yeah. Where you have women making the best pilots mentioned on, like, page 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sweet, women are in the military. And then you don't get to really see them for the rest of the book.
Yeah, I would actually think that with their mode of fighting being powered armor instead of dude on foot holding a rifle, that women could actually be infantry, even if you are harboring some chauvinism. It's like you're in a biomechanical feedback contraption. Like, does it really matter, I imagine, in that suit if you can... I mean, you probably have to be a fit and healthy person to have good reflexes, but it seems like if you could bench press 120 pounds or bench press 400 pounds, it wouldn't matter in the suit.
Yeah. As long as you had good aim and...
As long as you know how to use the thing, right.
Although in this world, I think the guys would be too distracted.
Yeah, that's true.
They'd be like, there's a girl in the suit next to me. Burp,
burp, burp. I just need some separate... Mason need a couple of divisions of all female MI.
And then they're the best ones.
That's right.
Either that or they're like, you're on sewing duty.
Well.
They'll pull a civil war and be like, hey, Black Platoon, dig trenches, lol.
Right.
And then they're like, you guys fucking suck.
So glad we showed up to your little fight.
Should mention in the 1860s, it doesn't matter what side you're on. If you're white, you're a racist.
Yeah.
By the way, if anyone's harboring
any sort of
misconception, unless you're an abolitionist, and then you're okay by modern standards.
There you go.
All right, moving on.
Moving right along.
Political.
Yeah, so the form of this society is that to be a citizen and to have voting rights, you have to have had served federal service time.
At least 2 years?
Yeah, which is doesn't have to be military. It could be counting buttons at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, according to one guy. they'll find something for you to do that doesn't necessarily involve getting shot at. And then when your time is up, you can vote. You're a full citizen. So... it's kind of what we were alluding to earlier on. We don't know exactly what Heinlein's views actually were. But this, and the society in the book certainly defines your value as a citizen by your service to the state, which is certainly not the idea behind American democracy.
Well, I guess the other thing you should actually mention, that I wasn't talking about during outlining, is that you become a citizen and get to vote after your service to the state, but as long as you are currently in the military, you are not allowed to vote.
Right.
So if you're in the military for 20 years, you can't vote until you're out of the military.
True story.
Which is kind of interesting.
It is kind of interesting. It seems, I don't know, it's a little odd. You'd think they would be able to vote.
Yeah.
Hey, you're getting shot at. When you're done doing that, then you get the privileges. But it's what works for this state, which is what the one of the HMP teachers makes clear during one of the various long-winded conversations. But it's kind of... that same conversation was kind of an offsetting point in some ways, because the student he was kind of, I don't know, grilling more than chastising, I would say, was saying, oh, well, veterans are a picked class of people. And the teacher says, well, not really. And he goes, well, they're a smarter class of people. And he's like, psh, no, definitely not.
There are a lot of civilians who are smarter than us.
It's like, no, not really. The reason we use this system is because this system kind of just happened and it
works.
Has continued to work, so we've kept doing it.
Yeah. Been no revolution. So, yeah, why not? Keep going.
Maybe that's the libertarian Heinlein coming through right there. It's him going, government is whatever keeps everybody from killing everybody else.
Yeah. And, oh my god, what's wrong with me?
Gav's brain has shut down. Yeah,
apparently cycling class destroyed my brain forever.
Gav's brain bug has gotten concussed by something thumping the ground, and she's having a little trouble accessing.
Oh, Jesus.
Holy smokes.
I don't know what I was going to say.
Okay, they'll move on to the more socially oriented issues, I suppose. So, aside from military and governmental philosophy, there's a little bit of... it's one part child raising, it's more of a crime and punishment thing.
Yeah. Though.
And it's clearly referencing the American justice system, which apparently, as much as we think it's screwed up now, is... sounds like it's pretty recognizably the same thing in 1959.
Yeah, that was one thing that surprised me. One of the things that made the book still feel fresh is I was reading, you know, the treatment of juvenile delinquents.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, it is pretty messed up. The justice system definitely has issues.
Right.
And then I went back and I was like, wait, people are complaining about this in 1959? Yeah. Like, oh, shit.
Right. It makes me think that's always existed, right?
Yeah.
That... certain strain of conservatism, and in this case I don't necessarily mean political conservatism, but just like actual conservatism, where you fear change and such, but how there always seems to be a brand of that where people think that sometime in the reasonably recent past that things were some sort of idyllic wonderland in that we've strayed away from those values.
Yeah.
And in reality, it's probably been just like now, more or less, all the time.
Yeah.
I
mean, to varying degrees, because, you know, he's talking about people don't spank their children, which is true. A lot of people don't spank their kids anymore.
Right.
But it's like, well, I bet before you, it's like, oh, you guys don't, like, use the belt on your kids. You just spank them with your hand. How's that going to teach them anything?
Right.
Before that, they're like, I use the cane, you only use a belt, and before that, you know, they're like, I'm whipping my kids or whatever.
Your child is under the age of 10 and you let them appear in front of people?
Or like, oh, my child works 14 hours in the field all day, so he doesn't fucking need to get spanked.
Right, I guess my version is the aristocratic version and Gab's is the peasant version. And the middle class version doesn't matter because there were like 6 people who
did
this middle class peasant.
Yeah, the rich people are like, you talk to your children? How quaint.
You acknowledge your children?
I have mine's being raised by the maid.
It's like a side effect of having sex that they probably didn't even know it was going to happen.
Yeah. And then your kid hits 15 and you're like, why won't he listen to anything I tell him?
Why won't he listen / is now in charge, is now second in command of, like, all of my holdings?
Yeah.
What is wrong with
you? Did not think this through.
Your system is stupid.
But yeah.
I guess the crime and punishment argument within the book is along the lines of punishment needs to be... one of the teachers says it should be a little unusual to help people remember it. Arguing against cruel and unusual. To me, it seems like the argument is more for consistency rather than some crazy draconian system of torturing people to whatever degree for whatever crime.
Well, yeah, it's... Well, they're talking about, like, lashing people.
Right.
So the lashing hurts, it embarrasses you in front of other people, and then it serves as a warning to other people to not do that or you'll get lashed.
Right.
And then that's what they do, and then supposedly that has led most people to stop breaking the law because they don't get lashed.
Right. And here are the couple of issues with thinking that flogging and spanking are the best way to do it. And one is that there are plenty of perfectly well-behaved adults out there who were never spanked as children.
Yep.
So there are other ways to do it. Though I will note that the children I meet who are the most pleasant to be around are ones who are... I don't know. I almost hesitate to even use the word disciplined, but, you know, like, raised, I guess. Consistent. Using consistent principles, right?
And, you know, I don't know if people would consider us well-behaved adults, but I never got spanked.
Right.
We got put in time out.
Right, and we don't commit crimes, and we're civil to people, except for each other, but...
Overall, we're decent, middling to decent citizens.
And at least three of the four of us have something recognizable as a conscience, so... I like it works. And, you know, so there's I think, something to the consistency argument, at least, but I'm not in a hurry to...
Start lashing people?
Start beating everybody's children, and everybody, for that matter.
Well, yeah, I was actually going to say, on the flip side, you were saying there are many well-behaved adults who were never spanked as a child. You will also find people who... generally well-behaved, and then get physically beat up a little bit and get resentful and start misbehaving because of it.
Right, that's true.
There's also that end.
I was going to point out that argument by analogy is a little suspect as well sometimes.
Gotta treat kids like you treat a puppy.
Right, and I do think there are some common things between raising kids and raising puppies. I mean, let's not pretend that there's no relationship whatsoever, but, you know, the people aren't potatoes argument from a later conversation, apparently people are puppies, so, I don't know, somewhere on the spectrum between...
potato and puppy.
Between potato and person, you're allowed to start making comparisons up to person, I don't know.
Only if you use P words,
though. Yeah, that must be the key to it. Just come up with a list of P words and build the spectrum.
People aren't apples, sir. Incorrect.
Incorrect.
We've accepted people are not parsnips.
Yeah. Potatoes, parsnips, no. Puppies, perhaps. PlayStations, we'll ponder it. Oh boy.
Oh boy. Okay. Anything else?
Oh, not particularly in the issues. Maybe, okay, stray thought. At the end of the book, I mean, Johnny Rico, we hear him referred to as Juan, I think, a couple times. Finally turns out that his native tongue is Tagalog, which makes him Filipino. So he's non-white.
Oh, yeah, good point. He's freaking Hispanic. Well, he's not Hispanic. Excuse me.
Yeah.
That was completely incorrect to say. He's Filipino.
He's Filipino.
Jesus Christ. So he's Hispanic. No.
Which, by the way, Starship Troopers, the movie...
he is white.
One thing the movie did a worse job of than the book, another thing, I guess, is that, oh boy, that was a whitewashed cast.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they all live in Buenos Aires. Yeah. So, there's him, there's Dizzy Flores, who they just turn into a woman, Carmencita, I don't remember, Ibanez?
Yeah, Ibanez.
Ibanez, thank you. Jeez. Brain. Who, like, don't sound very white, and then they're all white.
Hollywood strikes again!
I mean, I'm okay with Carl being white.
Right.
Because his name is Carl.
It would almost be weird. Like, to me, Carl is either the most lily white guy or, like, a black guy.
Yeah, like a cool black guy.
But if he was, like, a Filipino or a Hispanic guy or a Chinese guy, I don't know, that gets...
Carl the Chinese
guy. It starts feeling weird, and that's totally some sort of normative thing going on in my head, but...
Well, see, maybe Carl's an awesome black guy who's going to become a cop.
I want to see the movie version of Starship Troopers where Neil Patrick Harris as Carl is allowed to act like Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. By the way, Neil Patrick Harris is in the movie version of Starship Troopers.
That's true.
That's so weird.
He's an intense psychic guy who wears, like, Gestapo stormtrooper uniform.
He's freaky.
It's afraid. Yeah! Oh, God.
I have to watch that movie.
I get to submit that to How Did This Get Made. They need to talk about it.
Have they not done it?
They have not.
Is there a riff tracks for Starship Troopers?
Oh, there's gotta be.
Might have to watch that.
If there's not, let's make one.
Okay.
Okay.
Done.
Done.
Themes.
Brotherhood.
Broing out with your bros.
Yeah, broski.
Yeah, we were trying to think of a theme, and some of the social and moral issues we just talked about could be themes, unless that's not the point of the book. And the real point of the book seems to be that Johnny finds himself at home as a mobile infantry guy, and...
That keeps coming back in this idea of being a part of this group, and this group looks after its own, and... You know, I guess when they were in boot camp, that was illustrated to an extreme degree. There was a guy who deserted on, like, the second day of camp, and back in civilian life, kidnaps and kills a toddler, it sounds like.
Yeah, that was
messed up. Military, he was convicted, and then the military found him and dispensed military justice rather than civilian, because that's how much they look after their own. This child murderer really is not one of their own, but because his name is on the roll still as a deserter, they hang him at the boot camp. So that was interesting. I didn't think of that incident when we first said Brotherhood, but now I'm thinking that how would you make the argument the theme is anything else?
Yeah. Or when they're talking to the commandant at the school and he's saying, if you died tomorrow, you would be, you know, buried as an MI with blah, 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 blah. And...
Yeah, because their temporary third lieutenant status was such like a pointless rank shoehorned in just for cadet candidates, basically, that they weren't even technically members of the MI while they were serving under that rank. And that really bothered Johnny.
Yeah.
Until the commandant told him that, no, if you die, you get military honors. You're still us.
Yeah, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. Don't worry about it, you silly cadet.
Cadet. Is he Southern?
I don't know. That's
cadet.
They said that once. They once or twice spelled cadet. K-A-Y-D-E-T.
Yeah.
Cadet.
Just.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah. Another theme I stuck in there is the nature of war. Because the wars aren't really like, these guys are terrible and we're great. It's more of a commentary on two sides battling each other out, because that's what people do.
Right.
Is go to war.
Right. Yeah, this idea of as long as you are a living race trying to continue to grow your numbers, that conflict is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of interesting. A little bit the nature of being a person caught up within the war machine as well. Watching all these people buy their farm.
Yeah.
Terrible mess. Real estate deal. It's the way they talk.
Yeah.
Or the lieutenant, I guess. When he dies, it's kind of a blow. When anyone else does, it's kind of like, oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, he did. He bought the farm.
That's sad.
And then he just moves on.
Yep.
My best friend died, but whatever. Don't really give a shit.
Yeah. It was on Pluto. It's not even a planet. Who cares?
Yeah, who gives a flying fuck?
That's right.
Stupid Carl.
Yeah,
come and on. Your ambiguously raced name.
Yeah.
Dumb idiot. Okay.
Any other moments you wanted to hit?
Did you talk about the... We were talking about flogging, and we didn't talk about this particular aspect of flogging.
The boot camp incident,
yeah.
Where one of the cadets gets flogged and discharged for striking a superior officer.
And after he gets his punishment handed down and leaves, but before they flog him, Johnny overhears the conversation between Zim, who's the commanding officer who got struck, and his superior. It was really interesting because it wasn't like, man, that guy hit you and he deserves to get flogged.
Right.
It was like, you fucked up because recruits are going to want to punch you and you should never even give them the chance to come close to hitting you.
Yep.
Because we don't want them to get flogged or hanged. We don't want to punish them. And it was really interesting to hear him, like, chew this guy out for getting punched in the face.
Right, like, they were... We punished this guy because we had to, because he so clearly violated this rule, but... It's kind of that, Now I can't come up with the phrase I'm looking for.
Uh-oh.
What is happening? But this... I guess the idea of the higher ranks having responsibility to the lower ranks... As well as the other way around, which fits again into that brotherhood idea,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And then there was another conversation again during a history and moral philosophy class.
Conversations.
That when we said reference the people aren't potatoes, we never gave any of the context. Hopefully, you've read the book. You know what we're talking about. But
whatever.
It was a conversation about whether it's moral to start a war over 10,000 of your people being held prisoner versus one person being held prisoner, and how they're actually the same thing. And that's where people aren't potatoes.
Yeah, because he makes the argument of, well, if I had 10,000 potatoes and one potato, like, the...
Peoples aren't potatoes, sir.
Yeah, loss to me for one potato is really no big deal. People aren't potatoes.
Now, the thing we never did get to see is the part where he proved it.
Yeah.
Okay, prove it. Bring me your answer in symbolic logic. I'm like, what is symbolic logic? That's my question for the book. What is symbolic logic? We never had to learn that.
How do I do that? Okay.
Well, so, some strengths and weaknesses time.
Yeah.
Yay.
So, like I mentioned, the narrative is pretty engaging. Comparing it to other 1950s sci-fi books, it doesn't feel quite as... I don't know if stuffy is the right word, but the voice is easy to fall into. And I don't know why both of the times before I read a Heinlein book, I thought it was going to be, like, formal and boring. But I started reading both and was surprised that it wasn't both times, so...
That's... Fair, if you, depending on what your impressions of, like, mid-century science fiction are.
Yeah.
I love Heinlein's writing style. He's one of my favorite authors. I have probably 20 of his books on my shelf. And I find it really easy to read his stuff. I mentioned he tends to recycle the same couple of characters over and over again. within this book, or actually really most of his books, but this one in particular, he does tend to take these asides and get a little pedantic at times.
Yeah.
He'll interrupt a perfectly good adventure story to explain how orbital ballistics work or something like that. And so that's, you know, I think you can argue that's a weakness because it does not flow with the rest of the text very well sometimes.
Yeah, and one of the things that I have a problem with is that it's about this guy who joins the army and is fighting in a war, but you only get one battle in the first chapter and then a battle in the last chapter.
And those battles are tantalizing.
Yeah.
Like, if this was a straight, if this was a more straight-up adventure sort of story, like, the military stuff would be badass.
Yeah, with more battles and cool right. stuff going on.
Like, I get why the movie put way more of the battle stuff in there. And honestly, my main complaint with the action, and going back to the movie again for a second, is that there aren't dudes in badass mechanical armor fighting bugs.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of guys on foot. Boring. Who cares? We've seen that.
Yeah, it bothered me when he was like, here's some cool stuff that happened, but, you know, I'm just going to move on.
Right.
And I was like, why do you keep doing that?
Well, and Hyland's really good at writing action-adventure stories, too, is the thing, because some of his books or portions of some of his books that are more adventure stories, like, are really gripping.
Yeah, so the purpose of this book must not to be an action story, because
right.
there's not that much action. There's a lot of philosophizing.
Right.
And talking about the military and ranks and shit, and I was like, colonels, lieutenants.
Wah, wah, wah.
It is fairly short, though.
Yeah, it is.
It does not drag on forever.
Yeah, I mean, if there are stretches where you're rolling your eyes at what is being expounded upon, I certainly wouldn't blame you for that. I think a lot of people would have that reaction. I mean, we're basically already, we're kind of bleeding over into our opinion
yeah.
here a little bit. So, I mean, just to make it very obvious by saying it directly, you know, I really love this book. And to me, it's like hanging out with an old friend. It's just, you know, it's a very warm and comfortable place for me, for whatever reason. But as I'm saying that, I have known people who read it and were annoyed by all the asides. I think if you are not someone who has some inherent interest in the minutiae of military life and tactics and esprit de corps, I guess, all that stuff, then there are definitely portions of this book that would be less interesting to you than they are to me.
Yeah.
But I love the writing style.
And that was my thing, is I didn't think it was bad, but I thought when it wasn't engaging, it was just kind of blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really, in hindsight, I thought some of the conversations were interesting, but while I was reading them, I thought almost all of them were boring. I don't know what that's about.
maybe that's part of the long-term survival of this book, is that you aren't always fascinated by it in the moment, but it, like, kind of plants some seeds with yeah. some of those conversations, I think.
I would definitely say, though, if you're not into military science fiction, then don't bother.
Those, I would say, as far as entry-level classic era science fiction goes, this is a much easier entry point than some.
Yeah, if you're interested in trying to read some. But, like, I know some people who are just like, I don't want to read any of that sort of thing. If you're right. one of those people, then right. stay away.
Like, if you're one of those semi-scholarly readers, and not in the sense of an actual scholar, but in the sense of, I should read this because it's a gap in my knowledge.
Yeah.
If you're one of those folks, then I think this would be a decent entry point, just because it does read easily. But if you're someone who can take it or leave it and is looking for something entertaining, I would say having science fiction or military stuff as part of your interest would be very, very helpful.
Yeah.
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 So, Any questions?
Oh, mostly just, what the heck happened when you mentioned crap and then fucking glaze over it?
Yeah. For that matter, wouldn't mind seeing the battle that they were about to go into when the book ended.
Yeah. One of the ones that really intrigued me that I got annoyed at was they had that, like, psychic dude come and, like, stand there and kind of hold his hand out, and then he, like, drew a map of all the tunnels and it was completely accurate. And Johnny's like, that seems kind of like magic. And they're like, well, it works. And I was like, how the... I want to follow that guy around. That's fucking awesome.
You know, in that scene, Johnny was almost the reader and Blackstone was almost Heinlein.
Yeah, it's like...
And Johnny's like, wait, what is that? Is that reliable? And he's like, if I tell you it is, then God basically told you it is.
Yeah. So deal with it.
It's like, damn it. Stupid command structure. I have a question. How would you react if you saw a horse-sized spider holding a gun running at you?
Oh, Jesus. I would probably shit my pants.
If I wasn't one of those mechanical suits. Like, how many bombs am I carrying?
Oh, Jesus.
I cannot unload them fast enough.
Well,
right,
I see
now,
like, a normal house spider. I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, right, oh, exactly. God, oh, God, oh, God. Like, try to, like, pick it up with a paper towel, like, freaking out. If you, like, see, like, a person-sized one, I just, like, have a heart attack.
That's the other thing I want to see in this version. In my new version of Starship Troopers, is the guys in the mechanical armor is having, like, a gigantic rolled-up magazine on the back of their armor. What? Take them out.
A guy to make it all the way through boot camp and then be, like have arachnophobia or something. See a bug and just, like, flip. Oh, shit.
So, anyway, what are you reading right now?
Nothing.
Or what did you just finish right now?
I finished a book today by Madeline L'Engle, who wrote A Wrinkle in Time, if you remember when we read that. That was, like, our fourth book.
Yeah.
called The Moon by Night. It's part of, like, a 5 or 6 book series she wrote about this family that she wrote some books about. And I remembered loving all of her books when I was a kid, so I decided to reread it, give it another go, because I liked Wrinkle in Time on a reread, but it was dated because there was no interesting fantasy element, so it's just like normal family chilling out in 1960. I was like, okay.
I'm kind of boring, I guess. I'm on the same book as last time. Like, read the prologue and then did an episode, and now I'm almost done. So that's my defense. That's my weak, lame defense. But it is Flag in Exile by David Weber, and it's honoring. It's military science fiction, as it so happens.
Yeah, after talking to Ben, we have decided I should probably not read these books.
No, I don't think she would enjoy them. You should read the Dresden Files, though.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no. Actually, it's not the Jim Butcher series I would start you with. I'd start you with the one that's, like, the Roman Empire
fantasy
world.
Oh, yeah,
you might like that one. Anywho, if any of you out there want to comment, ask a question, leave a suggestion, you can do so on our website, novelideaspodcast.com.
Yeah, particularly if you have books that you really enjoy that were written by women, because we noticed that most of our reader suggestions are books by male authors.
I mean, we fall into that, too, so...
Yes,
if we're not a little careful,
indicting
right.
all of you for right. being horrible people, I'm just saying, occasionally we have to realize that we're not being socially aware enough, and you too should realize it. Recommend some books by some ladies.
That's right.
You can email us, novelideaspodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter, @novelideaspod.
You can also find us on iTunes.
Rate, review, comment, etc.
etc.
Da, 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 da. And so, next week, we'll be reading The Picture, not The Portrait, The yes. Picture of Dorian
picture
Gray.
Picture of Dorian Gray.
By Wild Oscar, or Oscar Wilde. I'm trying to play off of an inside joke right now. I should probably not be doing
it's
that
Oscar
on here.
Oscar Wilde.
Yeah. Irving Washington.
Yeah, we wanted to read a classic. Ben's not read Oscar Wilde.
I'm basically an uneducated savage.
The Picture of Dorian Gray is a book, and he mostly wrote plays, so it's not really the same, but it was written by Oscar Wilde, so it's good enough.
It's a starting point.
Yeah.
It's an entry point. So I think that's going to do it for this week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.